Radio Netherlands, not national, but international, broadcasting direct from Northwest Europe. Media Network, the weekly communications magazine with Diana Janssen and Jonathan Marks.
Hello, welcome to this week's Scan Round the Radio Dial.
A review of a new portable receiver is on the menu this time, plus media news from the Pacific. But we start with a profile.
Sometimes you find radio stations in the strangest of places, but this one is really unique.
This is wonderful Radio London, where you're hearing things,
where you're hearing things.
That jingle was first played by a radio station anchored off the British coast in the 1960s. Radio London was one of those commercial stations that broadcast from international waters in order to circumvent the British Wireless Telegraphy Act of 1949 and put pressure on the monopoly of the BBC. Now the station is back, albeit with new owners. Not from a boat, but then not from an office complex either. Jonathan has been investigating.
Look at me, I'm a train on a track, I'm a train, I'm a train, I'm a train, yeah. Look at me, got a load on my back, I'm a train, I'm a train, I'm a chicken train, yeah.
About 90 minutes drive east of Amsterdam towards the German border, you'll come to the city of Apeldoorn. If you then take the road southeast and drive along the Apeldoornse Canal, you'll come to the village of Eerbeek. In the summer, it's full of campers, people on walking or cycling holidays. The village has a railway station, and parked in the siding are two strange-looking coaches.
It's been a life that's long and hard. I'm a train, I'm a train, I'm a chicken train, yeah.
The carriages used to ride around East Germany in the days of the German Democratic Republic. Not anymore. Now they're home to a new satellite station called Radio London. Peter Janser is the director, and sitting inside the carriage, I asked him to explain why he chose that name.
Because it was my favorite station in the 60s. And one of their things was that they were very professional in their presentation. The sort of music was very nice. Beside that, I found it all their jingles from that time. And I can use them again, and they are lovely.
Wonderful Big L!
Is it difficult marketing Radio London in Holland? Do people think it's a British radio station?
Well, sometimes it's a problem, yes, that they think that we are coming from London instead of Eerbeek in the Netherlands from inside the train. But Radio London is a very good trademark.
Wonderful Radio London, where you're hearing swings. The music sings on wonderful Radio London, Big L.
The music on the new Radio London, though, is very different. It's world music. Look at the countries that have a beach looking out onto the Atlantic Ocean, and you have some idea of the music now being broadcast. World music from Africa and Latin America, reggae, rhythm and blues, plus the old familiar album tracks from the years 65 to 85. Peter Janser and colleague Patricia Horter gave me the guided tour.
Okay, this is the kitchen.
Right, a coffee machine and a washing machine, dishwashing machine.
And this is, we have somebody living in the train day and night, and he is living for a while here. Later on, he's moving out to the other carriage, because in that carriage is a nice sleeping room where he can stay, yes, shower, and a nice bed, and so on.
But now he's just got a bunk bed and an electric fan.
And later on, these two will be offices, so we have more space.
Right, okay. Move further down the carriage. Wires everywhere. It's got all wireless. And the room marked redactie, which means newsroom, I suppose.
Yeah, this is at the moment a place for the newsroom. And later in the other carriage we have a big room, and that will be the main newsroom.
And in this room too, you've got a couple of computers. Telephone, fax, usual
telephone,
things.
Telephone, fax. We will be connected in 2 weeks with internet, for instance.
This is going to be Studio 2 by the sound of it.
Yeah.
Right, some good old tape machines sitting around here.
Yeah, this one is the backup studio for Studio 1. Also the studio to edit interviews and make commercials and jingles and program, what is it, introductions and so on.
It's boiling hot at the moment outside. I mean, is it going to be a problem keeping this cool?
No, that's not a problem. We don't need this one cool. But the other studio, Studio 1, we have a, air conditioning in it.
Now, to the next compartment, and it says phonotheque, in other words, it's the record library, and it looks like a... Now, this of course, is not 60s, is it? Because, I mean, there was good old vinyl. You've got compact discs.
Yeah, the albums are still in another place. I have to bring them in. Something like 5,000 albums. What you see now is just a small part of all the CDs we are going to receive.
No, it's built on passion. You care about radio.
Yeah, okay, so you can say so. But for instance, all the technical stuff we have for Studio 1 and 2, it's all a gift. Two companies have been given that for nothing. And that's more than, say, 100,000 kilos together.
What about the disc jockeys, though? Are they going to get paid or are they volunteers?
No, they are not volunteers. They are only paid for airtime. And that's not so much money what they get for airtime. And that's the only thing. So in preparing time before airtime, they do it for free.
Right, so in other words, you have to have a passion to work here. You want to be part of a team.
Yeah.
Right, it's a Dutch language radio station?
Yeah, it's a Dutch language station. But because of the music, there will be a lot of international languages coming through. For instance, Spanish and Portuguese. Because we have a lot of connections in Africa and South America. I pick out the music at the moment, and that will be later on to the DJs itself.
Okay. Do you think women will listen to this radio station?
I think also women will listen, because a lot of the music... I myself like very, very much, and I miss it on the radio here in Holland, so...
Let's move on to the next room, out of the record library, further down, the carriage.
All the CDs are, it's also a gift.
Right, so we move into the main studio, Studio 1, mixing table, reverberation, all sorts of technical things here. Love this... And then right at the end, yes, naturally, of course, the good old lavatory. And that's the end of the train. Do you get trains coming through here, though,
yeah,
still?
Yeah, starting from Monday, there will be a train rolling along, a steam engine. And that will be 4 times a day. So every time when the steam train is rolling along, we are going to put it in the program.
It's a touristic train, only running in the summer.
Are you inviting people round the station?
I think so, yeah, because we like to invite everybody here and come by and have a look and get the feeling.
Wonderful Radio London, biggest sound around, Big L.
You can't help but be impressed by the atmosphere at Radio London. It's driven by passion rather than a big budget. The people we spoke to were concerned about getting different types of music onto the airwaves. Virtually everything's been donated by organisations that believe in the same type of musical mission. Radio London is using Eutelsat at 16 degrees east, transponder 32, but the transmission is in the digital mode, so you can't pick it up with a conventional domestic satellite receiver. That's a pity. However, if the formula works, they do want to move into other countries. Peter Janssen explained that one of the railway carriages will be changed in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, we are going to replace it. There's coming, for this one, is coming a special saloon carriage built in the 60s. So there's also a feel of Radio London from the 60s.
From an East German carriage?
Yeah, that's right.
Who used it?
Yeah, I don't want to mention it.
Secret.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, well, okay, this because East Germany is free now. This car was owned by Mr. Honecker, and, well, he's dead.
So Erich Honecker used to ride around in this special railway carriage.
Yeah, that's right. But I am not sure how many times he has been using it.
Patricia Horter said, though, it's difficult launching yet another radio station in a part of Europe which sees a new commercial radio operation appear almost every month.
Well, it is difficult, but the idea about Radio London is that it wants to be a different station than from all the other broadcasting stations in Holland. The whole formula has to be so different that the cable managers get a completely different impact from it. So Peter Jansen has been working on this for 9 months, and he's been sending brochures and letters to all the cable managers here in Holland. By now we have 2.5 million connections in Holland.
But is it difficult to find advertisers?
Well, part of the target for advertising is an age group from 25 until 50, and a part of this group, 40s, 50 people, they have a lot of spend, and they know the station from the old days, and we want to emphasize that.
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
Radio.
Radio.
Big.
Big.
L.
L.
Wonderful. Radio London.
And if you're interested in contacting the people behind the new Radio London, the address is P.O. Box 119, postal code 6960, AC in Eerbeek, and that's spelled E-R-B-E-E-K in the Netherlands. And the fax number is 318-338-59114. Once again, 318-338-59114. Sounds like you had fun doing that item, Jonathan.
Yes, Peter Jansen used to work in the film industry, but now has changed course to fulfill a lifetime love for radio. I know what he means.
Media Network's News Review.
Now we're off to the Middle East in the company of Victor Gunatilica on the line from Colombo, Sri Lanka. Victor, you've been watching the stations who oppose the views of Saddam Hussein.
Well, yes, with the solar activity so low and the higher frequencies giving almost nothing very exciting for us other than, of course, the interesting programming from international broadcasters, we've been concentrating on the Middle Eastern clandestine stations. There are quite a few stations coming out of the Kurdistan area, and I have three very interesting loggings thanks to the Danish Shortwave Club's clandestine list. Well, the first one I managed to pick up is 4090. That's 4090 kilohertz, around 15 hours UTC, and that's the voice of the people of Kurdistan. And also, voice of the Iraqi Kurdistan, of course the station identifies as Kurdistan, voice of the Iraqi Kurdistan, which is heard on 4180 kilohertz, around 1630 in Arabic, and also in Kurdish, around 1830 UTC. Well, I heard a third station, which is not listed, and that's on 4106 kilohertz, 4106 kilohertz, and the station identification is Era Dangi Kurdistana, which means Radio Kurdistan, which I cannot find listed anywhere. And the reception is fairly good at 1615 UTC in Kurdish, and the station is constantly being jammed and they keep moving around quite a bit.
So the old cat and mouse game.
Oh, yes. The voice of the Maldives has moved frequency in the medium wave band, and they are on 1449 kilohertz, 1449, giving good reception in the entire South Asian region, and the change comes from 1458. The station is not announcing the frequency as they used to before, but only gives the 200 meters. So obviously the frequency change is not official yet. The signing on is at midnight 25, sign off 1745 UTC with the national anthem of the Maldives.
I wish I could hear that up here. Mind you, how far does it get out in South Asia to as far as northern India, or only just across the water to you there in Sri Lanka?
Well, it has been picked up in northern India and Southeast Asia, and quite a few very active DXs who I met while in Denmark up from Finland told me that they have been able to hear Radio Maldives on 1458 kilohertz. So I suppose 1449 wouldn't be too bad either for Finland, maybe in the deep winter.
Radio Netherlands Consumer Investigation.
I want my money back.
We dig deeper.
Well, actually, today's receiver test turns out to be pretty good value for money. Diana.
Well, after a quiet period, the receiver market is starting to move again, prompted by a new travel portable from Grundig. As you may recall, this German consumer electronics company is celebrating its 50th year of existence. They have also diversified production outside Europe. The shortwave receiver line has been moved to Grundig North America, based in California, who in turn have decided to manufacture the Yacht Boy range in the Far East.
In Europe and North America, Grundig has just launched the Yacht Boy 305. It's an entry-level portable set designed for the travel market, but it's significantly cheaper than the Yacht Boy 400, which was launched last year. The Yacht Boy 305 is a different design inside, being single rather than double conversion. There's no single sideband, and the tuning steps are coarser than on the more expensive 400. But it's not bad value at all.
The first thing that strikes you as you unpack the receiver is that it operates on 3 volts DC rather than 6, and it uses the size C cells, or UM2s, the next size up from pen lights. An AC power supply is available as an optional extra in some countries. In practice, though, we got around 28 hours of use from a fresh set of alkaline cells.
So, let's put the batteries in. And once you put them in the back, put on the cover. You can unclip a little stand. And the set sits at an angle on the table, ready for use. Let's switch it on.
So, I'm driving a rented car.
And the liquid crystal display shows the last frequency you're attuned to, in this case 6140 kilohertz. Now, if you want to change frequency, you simply tap in Enter, then, for example, 9895 kHz, press Enter again, and it's retuned. The Yacht Boy 305 has 10 memory channels for medium wave, 10 for FM stereo, and 10 for favourite shortwave channels. Unlike the more expensive Yacht Boy 400, though, the 305 doesn't offer long wave, at least on the model that we've tested. A table on the back of the receiver reminds you where you can find the shortwave broadcasters in the shortwave spectrum, although it is possible to tune continuously from 2300 right up to 21850 kHz. The Yacht Boy 305 tunes in 5 kHz steps on shortwave. There are two tiny switches in the battery compartment which let you select 50 or 100 kHz tuning steps on FM, and 9 or 10 kHz tuning steps on medium wave. The instruction manual explains how to select the right steps depending on where in the world you happen to be at that moment. The 5 kHz tuning step on shortwave is coarser than on more expensive portables, though. You can't slightly off-tune to escape some interference, for instance. However, we did notice that the single bandwidth filter inside this set is remarkably sharp for a set of this nature, and strong signals 5 kHz away are fairly well attenuated. A fine tuner control, though, still would have been nice, but this 5 kHz tuning is the best we've seen in a long time.
The set can help you find the bottom end of the popular shortwave tuning bands, such as 120, 60 or 31 meters, to take a few examples. The keypad is simple to operate and the keys are well spaced out. It's pretty simple to scan the dial for strong signals and store them in the memory. The Yardboy 305 has no dial light, but it does have a small recessed locking switch to prevent it accidentally springing to life in a suitcase or in my backpack. You can also set the radio to send you to sleep over a period of up to 90 minutes. There's a two-step attenuator on the side of the set. We found that in Europe, after dark, it was a good idea to switch the setting to local and collapse the telescopic whip antenna. In more remote parts of the world, you'll probably find that you cannot make do with the built-in antenna. There's a small socket to connect an external antenna, but the single conversion design of the 305 is sensitive to signal overload. If you realize that too much signal can be as bad as too little, then a bit of experimentation will give the best results with this set.
In short, there have been cheaper PLL synthesizer sets on the market before now, but their performance has been mediocre, to say the least. The Yardboy 305 from Grundig retails in North America at $129.95, which is about $60 cheaper than the Yardboy 400. In the UK, we found it in the shops for £79.95. At that price, it's one of the best entry-level portables ever made. If you open it up, you find that it's made in China. The craftsmanship is actually not bad at all, and the use of the slightly larger batteries makes for optimum use during long trips. You don't really need to take a charger with you. In fact, we found rechargeable batteries needed to be very fresh in order to get proper performance on the radio. Otherwise, the battery voltage is too low and you lose sensitivity. The receiver has no built-in clock, again a feature which was left out in order to meet the price range. The English language manual does mention further sources of information, but not really enough about the broadcasting stations you can hear on this type of receiver. Bearing in mind the travelling market includes a lot of impulse buying, information neatly packaged for the newcomer is important, and in this case we feel it's insufficient. But overall, the Grundig Yardboy 305 is a useful new package.
A copy of this review has just been posted on the Radio Netherlands worldwide web pages. The URL is http://www.rnw.nl. But of course, you can also write in for a printed copy.
Still on the subject of the internet, Tom Sundstrom in New Jersey, USA, points out that the Federal Communications Commission now has its own worldwide web page. The URL is http://www.fcc.gov/. The pages are being changed quite frequently at the moment. It's an interesting source of press releases. Andy Senator of the WRTH has also dropped by now with news of another change. Andy.
Indeed, it's an important change of address, or as we say on the net, URL, for the shortwave radio catalogue. This is an impressive and comprehensive hypertext document containing links to just about everything to do with shortwave on the internet. It's updated frequently by its creator, Pete Costello, and it's moved to a new server, where access is much faster than the old one. If you have an entry for this page in your browser, you should change it to the new URL, which is http://itre.ncsu.edu/radio/. And for those of you who haven't a clue what I'm talking about, we now continue in English.
With news from Asia.
Yes, Alan Davis in the UK reports on Usenet that Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, has finally chosen the clear frequency for its English broadcast to Europe, at 19:30 to 20 hours UTC. Alan's been hearing the station on 7530 kilohertz, 7530, although he says the signal is weak.
So once again, that's 7530 kilohertz for Ulaanbaatar in Mongolia, and the time again, 19:30 to 20 hours UTC.
Radio Netherlands, rock and roll radio without all that music.
This past weekend, listeners in North America noticed the appearance of a new shortwave radio station on the dial. At the moment, though, it's only testing on Friday, Saturdays and Sundays on the frequency of 7355 kHz, 7355, and it's there randomly between 13 and 22 hours UTC. They announced a telephone number in McKaysville in Georgia. So we gave that number a call and reached David Frentz, who's the chief engineer and also the owner of WGTG, together with his wife. We asked him how long they'd been planning this new religious station.
We've been working on the project almost a year and a half now.
And now it's come to fruition. What have you got there?
Yeah, 150 kW, and we're using a rhombic. It's 900 feet long, and it's 90 feet high.
And is it?
We also have a Yagi,
right,
wide-spaced for 15 megahertz.
And where are you beaming to?
Our target area is Mexico and Canada. No, we've had some calls from Ontario, and they hear us loud and clear up there, so I would imagine that that we should be hitting the target areas beautifully.
And what time are you on the air?
Our authorization right now for testing is from 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but we're going to be expanding to 7 days a week testing.
And how do people get in touch with you if they hear the broadcasts?
They can write to us at radio station WGTG, P.O. Box 1131, Copper, like the metal, Copper Hill, Tennessee, 37517. And that's the United States of America.
Let me confirm the call sign again. What exactly is it?
It's Whiskey Golf, Tango Golf, WGTG.
And does that stand for anything?
Yes, with glory to God. No denomination whatsoever. We're just basically servants of the Lord, and that's it.
Are you going to make the programs yourself?
We're going to probably originate some programming here. Like, for example, I may, you know, like a DX party line type thing.
I see. And the other programs, what you get from other organizations making religious shows?
Yeah, we'll probably lease the time out on the transmitters.
And join a number of international broadcasters in North America broadcasting religious programs. David explained, though, that they built their 50-kilowatt transmitter from scratch, and they're planning to build two more. He says to buy a transmitter off the shelf is far too expensive. They've also got plenty of space for more antennas. So where exactly is this radio station?
If you have a map, we're located in McKaysville, Georgia, and that's a tiny little town on the border of Georgia and Tennessee. If you look at a map, if you look at Georgia, Tennessee, and North Carolina, where all three states join,
Yes. There's
a little town called Copper Hill in McKaysville. We're about 3-4 miles southeast of McKaysville, and we're in the middle of the woods. I mean, we're out in the country here.
I see. So the neighbors are quite a long way away.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the reasons we selected the spot is for television interference.
So now we know. Another shortwave transmitter has also come on the air, this time in Southeast Asia. Arthur Cushion has the details from Invercargill, New Zealand.
Well, Indonesia, Radio Republic Indonesia at Jakarta, they've added another high-powered transmitter on a 9525. And it opens at 2300 and goes past 1100. At 2300, the old channel of 9680 also opens. But 9680 seems to go off now at 1100, but the new 9525 continues on. At 1000, they have the national news, and at 1009, they return to RRI Jakarta, their own domestic program. So it's a high-powered station at 9525, just around 1000 UTC.
Thanks, Arthur. Meanwhile, in Europe, if you have access to an Astra dish, as well as listening to Radio Netherlands, you can see promos for Veronica Commercial TV. Transponder 51, 10.743 gigahertz, horizontal, was switched on this past Tuesday.
Vanaf september, ook bij Veronica, now or never.
In Veronica's true style, it's risque promos, but clearly aimed at a much younger audience than during its public TV days, which are rapidly drawing to a close. You should also watch 1395 kHz AM on the medium wave for the appearance of test transmissions for Veronica's all-news radio service.
Mike Bird in Melbourne has been watching the propagation the last 7 days. Here is his report.
The solar flux continued to be very low and the geomagnetic field was very quiet. Solar activity was low all week. the solar flux range between 69 and 73. The average works out to 70.4, which equals an effective sunspot number of 5, and that is up 2 points on the previous week's level. The geomagnetic field disturbance indicator, the estimated planetary A index, range between 7 and 4, which represents quiet conditions. So, Diana, there we have it. Apart from the very low solar flux levels, propagation wasn't too bad at all.
And what can we expect between now and next Thursday, August the 10th?
Well, we're hoping for more of the same. IPS Radio and Space Services expects solar activity will remain very low, and the geomagnetic field should also remain very quiet.
Thanks, Mike. And just before we go, we have an update.
This is Tim Handel in Miami. Jonathan, last week on Media Network, there was a question about stations putting their schedules out on tape for blind people. Well, I am on the board of advisors of Radio for Peace International in Costa Rica. And as you know, I'm also blind. Radio for Peace International records its quarterly publication called Vista and sends the tapes to any blind person who becomes a member. I'm the person who duplicates and mails out those tapes. We also produce a Braille program schedule for any members. So any blind person who wants to be a member of Radio for Peace and get their schedule on tape, rather get the magazine on tape and the schedule in Braille, should contact Radio for Peace International, P.O. Box 88, Santa Ana, Costa Rica, and should simply indicate to them that he or she is blind and wants the magazine on tape. Thanks a lot.
And thank you, Tim. And on that optimistic note, we're off to delve into some of the Belgian archives. The results in 7 days.
In the meantime, have a pleasant weekend.
Media Network is a Radio Netherlands presentation. Copyright 1995.